From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine for Tuesday, August 21st, 2018. And on this day, a Maine judge calls in jurors who did not show up for jury duty to talk about what kept them away. And we've been hearing about President Trump's threats for a government shutdown for a while now, but for Maine's congressional delegation, that is not a good way to go. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
The National Alliance on Mental Illness in Maine, or NAMI, has come out with a list of recommendations to reform the state's mental health system. They include establishing assessment centers, mental health liaisons and law enforcement agencies, and reducing deaths by suicide. As Patty White reports, the goal is to get commitments from political candidates to implement those recommendations.
It's called the Mental Health System Reform Project, and it identifies key benchmarks NAMI says Maine needs to have a dynamic mental health system. Along with better coordinated care and a reduction in adverse events, the recommendations seek to increase access to housing and employment. Jenna Maynard of NAMI says she hopes political candidates will use the report as a guide for policy.
That's the purpose of this report, is to say, hey, regardless of party, regardless of perspective, we collectively have agreed these are key issues.
The benchmarks and recommendations grew out of a survey of 700 people, as well as input from consumers, providers, and law enforcement. Maynard says many of the recommendations can be implemented by realigning funding to address priorities. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
The U.S. Senate is in session this week, but the House doesn't go back until after Labor Day. Come September, they'll have to reconcile differences in the dozen bills that will fund the federal government starting October 1st. And as Mal Leary reports, Maine's congressional delegation is hopeful that agreement will be reached and a shutdown of any part of the federal government will be avoided.
President Trump has said that he's willing to shut down the federal government if he does not get funding for his wall on the border with Mexico. In fact, he has said it would be good to shut down the federal government. Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine disagrees.
A government shutdown is never a good idea. It is never the answer to policy disputes. It ends up costing the taxpayers more money than otherwise would be spent. It disrupts federal programs. It creates chaos and confusion.
And Collins, who serves on the Senate Appropriations Committee, says the president needs to understand that the bills include money for work to improve border security, not just a physical wall. And that's important, she says, because there are border areas where a wall can't be built and will require technology and more Border Patrol agents instead.
The president has been offered as much money as can be reasonably spent effectively in the next fiscal year.
Collins says both the Senate and House have made a lot of progress passing several appropriations bills, and some negotiations are underway to resolve differences over spending amounts for various programs. But First District Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree, who serves on the House Appropriations Committee, says many of the House bills contain poison pills, policy changes that she hopes the Senate refuses to support.
We're going to find out if some of the poison pills that are in there, you know, cause problems. Some of them, I'm sure, will be stripped out in the Senate. They're somewhat more level-headed than the Republican House is right now.
Pingree is not all that confident that all the budget issues can be settled, given all the other business before Congress, including reauthorization legislation and the Senate confirmation proceedings for several judicial nominations.
My guess is we'll go to some sort of a continuing resolution. Maybe leadership will have hopes that we finish the process by the end of the year, but I would be surprised.
Independent Senator Angus King says he hopes a continuing resolution can be avoided and the regular budget bills pass before the clock runs out. He agrees with Collins that tremendous progress has been made in committee, but acknowledges that all that work could be jeopardized by House Republican leaders.
Will the House put what they call poison pills in the budget, dealing with issues that really aren't in the budget, the Endangered Species Act or something like that? And the sort of cloud on the horizon is the wall.
King says the president's insistence that the budget package include full funding of a physical wall along the border could derail the process, and agrees that the proposed budget would enhance border security. Republican 2nd District Congressman Bruce Poliquin declined to be interviewed for this story. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Authorities are reminding people not to take wild animals into their homes. That's after several rabid animal attacks in mid-coast Maine this summer, and after, in southern coastal Maine this week, a person attempting to nurse an injured rabid raccoon back to health got bitten several times and will now undergo rabies treatment. Kennebunkport police say the person took in the injured raccoon and was bitten alongside a responding game warden. Officials say the animal tested positive for rabies, and both the resident and the warden will have to get treatment. Police say the warden was bitten while he was trying to move the animal. A Superior Court judge took the unusual step today of calling about a dozen jurors into his courtroom to find out why they ignored requests to report for jury duty earlier this month. During the half-hour session, Somerset County Superior Court Justice Robert Mullen says he got some insight into some of the obstacles that impede jurors from showing up for court. And as A.J. Higgins reports, Mullen said the court's willing to work with Mainers who can't always report when they're called.
Inside the Skowhegan courtroom, prospective jurors ran through a brief list of explanations as to why they either failed to show up in court for jury duty or notify the court clerk's office with an explanation for their absence. Mullen said he had brought the jurors together not to scold or berate them, but to learn why they were unable to perform their civic duty. A young woman that Mullen referred to as juror number 6 said she did not have regular access to her mail.
If number 6 could come up. Yeah, was there any particular reason why you...
This happened last time, and I thought I fixed it with going down and giving them my change of address. You guys keep sending it to my old address.
Issues around mail popped up more than once, particularly among younger jurors who are sometimes working and living in one part of the county while receiving their mail in a different location. An older man, heavily bandaged and designated as juror number 28, said he had recently learned that he had developed some serious health issues.
I have cares.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that. I just point out to everybody, I mean, there are reasons... explanations for people to be excused from jury service. And if we get a doctor's certificate or a doctor's notice something, we try to work with people. And so if I'd gotten that information, I wouldn't have sent you a letter and we wouldn't be talking today.
Juror 28 explained that someone at his doctor's office had failed to notify the court of his diagnosis. Other jurors said they had been mistakenly told that they didn't have to show up. But transportation conflicts and job responsibilities were the reasons most often cited by jurors about why they ignored the judge's call. Although the Maine legislature has raised the level of juror stipends from $10 a day to $15, it doesn't begin to make up for a lost day's work or, in some cases, of the cost of child care or transportation to and from the courthouse. Taylor Hall lives 20 miles away in Pittsfield.
I guess it's more difficult to find a ride and find somebody because I don't want to just get a ride and not pay them. And with the job that I work, you don't really get paid that much. So it's hard, one, to find a ride here, and two, to be able to pay somebody for a full day to bring me here.
With Hall and the other jurors, Mullen listened patiently and then told them that the court will try to work with them to schedule their jury duty. He says he's heard just about every conceivable explanation for a juror failing to report.
Prepaid vacation,
I'm the sole practitioner in an office that I just can't get someone to cover for me. I've got a doctor's appointment. I have a wedding to go out of state. You know.
Notwithstanding those explanations, Mullen told the jurors they were really only expected to do two things as American citizens: vote and show up for jury duty. He said the right to be judged by a jury of one's peers is the foundation of the American justice system, but not being able to impanel a jury can frustrate a defendant's right to a speedy trial and clog the court's docket. His meeting with the jurors, he said, is in part an effort by the court to demonstrate that it's not okay to ignore a call for jury duty.
Word gets around, and then, you know, if oh, you don't have to show up for jury duty, nothing will happen. Well, something could happen, and I just, like I said, I just didn't want to deal. Life's too short. I didn't want to deal with problems with people showing up. And so I just wanted to, like I said, try to nip it in the bud.
The jurors said they would try to work with the court to be dismissed from service according to court procedure or make themselves available for a future jury pool. Under Maine law, jurors failing to respond to a court summons could potentially be found in contempt of court, facing fines, and jail time. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, August 21st, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.